In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If I had an illness and I was offered a medication that had been put together by someone who discovered a secret code in the Bible, so he thought, and that was the basis for his invention of this medicine, I would probably not want to take it. But on the other hand, if someone by empirical experimentation had found that this medicine would actually work, then I would take it. What we see and what we observe empirically is true if we properly understand it. And we can know things from science, and science properly understood does not contradict what's revealed in Scripture. But on the other hand, if I went to someone and they said, this either is a sin or is not a sin based on secular psychology's analysis of the situation, I would look at him the same way that I would look at the guy who came up with medicine based on some secret code that he made up to interpret the Bible to develop that medicine, because you can't answer a spiritual question by secular science. It just isn't possible. All truth is God's truth. But not everyone is equally open to seeing that truth. When it comes to spiritual things, a person who is without the grace of God has a natural inclination to want to suppress the truth, St. Paul tells us. In the readings in 1 Corinthians, which we read this past week, St. Paul talks a little bit about how we know what the things of God are. In chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, he says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God." So the analogy that St. Paul is using is that I know my thoughts better than any other human being. I'm the world's foremost authority on myself. Only God knows me better than I know myself. That's not to say that somebody might know some aspect of myself better than I do. I'm sure there are things my wife could tell you that I probably am not aware of, that she's aware of. But for the most part, when it comes to my own thoughts, I'm the authority on that subject. Well, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, the Spirit of God is the authority. And if we want to understand the mind of God, we have to have the grace of the Holy Spirit illuminating us. We can't just figure that out on our own. And then he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Now, if you are a Christian, you have received the Holy Spirit. To what extent the Holy Spirit is in full control of your life depends on your level of spiritual growth. But if you are a Christian, you are guided by the Holy Spirit, at least to some extent, and not by the spirit of this world. The problem that we have, though, is that we have too many people who allow the spirit of this world to cloud their understanding of the things of the faith, and they look at things that are clearly taught in Scripture, they look at things that the tradition clearly teaches us, but because they would rather obey the spirit of this world, they just ignore what they see in Scripture, and they figure that, well, we know better. You sometimes will hear people will say, well, you know, back in the Bible, for example, they believed that there were things like demons, but science has shown that there are no such things. Well, science can answer a lot of questions, secular science, and we live in a day when we have a lot of technology and a lot of information that's been a great benefit to mankind. But until mankind develops a scope that's capable of peering into the spiritual realm, science is never going to be able to tell you that there are no such things as demons. And one thing I can tell you is if you ever actually encounter a demon, you won't have any problem believing that there are such things. But you're not going to be able to put it under a microscope. You're not going to be able to take a picture of it. You're not going to be able to prove that to someone whose eyes are closed to these things. But when you encounter a spiritual reality, you don't have these kinds of doubts. I've had the pleasure of getting to know a number of people who knew St. John of Shanghai, and the amazing thing about all these people is they're not plagued with doubts about who God is or the sanctity of St. John, because they saw the holy up close. They saw miracles up close. They experienced God in very real ways. And when you have that kind of experience, you don't have those kinds of doubts anymore. But there are some things that you know, but they're not empirically provable. You can't show that to some atheist later on that it's true, but there are some things that we do know that we can't prove empirically. But the problem is that because we can know some things empirically, some people want to say, well, if I can't know it empirically, it can't be true, which is just nonsense. I know that my wife loves me, but I can't prove it empirically. There's no way that I could get out the loviscope and demonstrate that my wife loves me, but I know it's true, and there are many things that are not capable of empirical proof that we nevertheless know to be true. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you are a Christian, you seek to be guided by what the Holy Spirit teaches. If you want to know how you should live your life as a Christian, you don't look to pop stars for your guide. You don't look to secular psychologists. You look to the scriptures. You look to the lives of the saints and the fathers of the church. And you look to the spiritual leaders that you have in the church today, especially those that you see signs of real sanctity and devotion to God. And we understand spiritual questions by looking to analogies in scripture and tradition that can serve as guides to us. We compare spiritual things with things that are spiritual and not apples to oranges. It just doesn't work. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And when it talks about the natural man, it's talking about a person who's walking according to the flesh and doesn't have the grace of the Holy Spirit to illumine him and to allow him to see spiritual things. We have to live according to the Spirit of God. And it should come as no surprise that someone who's not living according to the Spirit of God doesn't understand spiritual questions. For one, he doesn't have the power to understand them. And number two, he has a positive motivation to not want to understand some things. I can't remember who said this, but he said it's very difficult to convince someone that something is true if his livelihood depends on him believing that it's not true. Well, it's also true that it's hard to convince someone that something is true or false if they really want to do something contrary to what it is that you're trying to convince them. They would rather do what they want to do than listen to you. They have to have their hearts opened up spiritually to be able to see these things. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. What St. John Chrysostom says about this to explain what St. Paul is saying here is he compares it with a blind man and a man who can see. He says a man who can see what he's doing, and he can also see what a blind man is doing. A blind man can't see what he himself is doing, and he certainly can't see what a seeing man is doing. The blind man obviously has some knowledge of what it is that he is doing, but he's not able to see the context around which he's doing these things, and so he doesn't have a complete understanding of what he's doing himself, but he certainly can't see what someone else is doing. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. To the extent that we are guided by the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. And this should be our primary focus as Christians, to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to know the things of God, and to let the things of the Spirit so illumine us that we have the mind of Christ, so that we're able to see things as Christ sees them and to be guided by Him in all that we do. Amen.